There's a lot of division in our nation, and some of it revolves around race. It would be helpful, though, if we all realize that every human being is a part of the human race. Moreover, my life and your life have value, not because of our race, ethnicity, social status, wealth, looks, or ability. Our lives have value because each one of us is created in the image of God. If we all realize this, we can value and respect each other despite our differences.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series on critical race theory and its implications. And we're asking the question, is slavery America's original sin? You may even wonder, well, why would we talk about this in a church? Well, because the Bible applies to every instance or everything that is going on in our lives, including what is going on in our society and what is going on in government. And there are politicians who are saying that slavery is America's original sin. And it's important that you know the truth. And the Bible says, Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How would you know the truth? By abiding in His word. If you abide in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. I would encourage you to abide in the word of God and to apply it to your life, to your family, to your churches, to our cities, our states, and our nations. One thing we can do also is, and we need to remember and realize, is that there are those out there who have no interest in the truth. In fact, the Bible says in Romans that there are some who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And you need to know that there are people today who are suppressing the truth. In fact, even as we have talked about the 1619 Project, that's the project from the New York Times where a reporter actually started this project. And this project actually claims that slavery started in America in 1619. And this is actually you can actually look at our previous sermons on this topic from at our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. Also, our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. And you can actually see that those slaves that were brought to America, they actually were not slaves in America. They were indentured servants, and they were given their freedom at the end of their servitude, and that they were actually released. They were given land. Slavery actually started in America when one of those indentured servants, who became quite successful, brought others over from Africa. He bought them as slaves, but he didn't keep them as slaves. He kept them as indentured servants. And after a period of time, probably 6 or 7 years, he released them and gave them land, and they were actually able to live free lives. He had one lazy man that he said, there's no way I'm going to get the right. I'm not going to recoup my money out of this guy. And so he actually sought it to, he actually went to court and won the right to own him for the rest of his life. By the way, he was from Africa. He was black. He was suing for the right to own another black man. That's the way slavery actually started in America. That's something that the 1619 Project will not tell you. They actually did have some professors that reviewed what they were presenting, and the professors said, showed them inaccuracies, and they ignored those and went ahead and published it anyway. So there are people that want to suppress the truth. And we've actually gone over and presented the truth and shown what was actually happening in America. We are going to reference, and we actually did reference, actually some videos. We'll put the links on our website, on this sermon, also in the description section on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. We'll put links to these. But we are referencing actually some key resources, including a response to the 1619 Project with Tim Barton at the Pro-Family Legislative Conference. Again, we'll put links to that. There's also Tim's dad, David Barton. We have actually quotes from him and a YouTube video from him. And today we'll be actually looking at America's exceptional history of anti-slavery. And we'll be looking at this, and also we'll be talking about some of the things that you may not have known about slavery. So even though the issue of slavery is often, and by the way, some of these will again include links on our website, but some of these are going to actually be from wallbuilders.com, which is. David Barton's website. By the way, David Barton is a historian that is into truth. He actually owns over 100,000 documents from America's founding era, including handwritten letters from the founders, including the Bibles that they had, the Bibles that the pastors had. Just amazing, amazing stuff that you can learn from there. But even though the issue of slavery is often used and often raised as a discrediting charge against the founding fathers, the historical fact is that slavery is not a product of, nor was it an evil intended by the founding fathers. Slavery had been induced to America nearly two centuries before the founders. Now, one thing that we did talk about last week also is that the second slave ship that arrived in America had a very different encounter and a very different result that happened than the one that came to Jamestown. Of course, in Jamestown, it still wasn't horrible. The slaves were actually given the right to work as indentured servants and earn the right to be free men. Well, the second load of slaves actually arrived in Plymouth, and this is, of course, where the Pilgrims were. Now, it's key here because the slaves arrived in 1646. But what happened actually 5 years earlier is we have the first statutory challenge to slavery, perhaps in the history of the world. Definitely, we don't see this. This wasn't commonplace back then. But in 1641, way before the founding fathers, the Pilgrims passed a series of laws. And of the laws they passed, one of the laws they passed, it was actually dealt with slavery. And it said that slavery was legal in only two conditions. So what they said is that slavery is legal as a punishment for a crime, or if you were captured in a justified war. And they defined justified warfare as a war of self-defense. But also in the 1600s, when people fought war against other people, if they conquered, there were only two options. That was death or slavery. So the Pilgrims said slavery is only legal under two conditions. But what's interesting is they also passed another law that year, and they said man-stealing is illegal and a capital offense. Now, man-stealing, they defined as kidnapping someone from their home and moving them off their continent to another continent to be a slave. Well, that's interesting because this is the middle of the North Atlantic slave trade. So guess what that law was targeting? The North Atlantic slave trade, 1646. That law was passed in 1641. So the first law that actually addressed slavery and made the very act of taking someone from a foreign land, capturing them, kidnapping them, taking them from a foreign land and selling them was actually made illegal in 1641. So when this ship arrived in Plymouth, the slave traders were in for a rude awakening. They had this law that actually made it illegal to steal someone, to kidnap someone, and to bring them to sell them as a slave. So what did they do? What did the pilgrims do? They arrested the captain of the ship and the crew, and they charged them with a crime of man-stealing, and they freed the slaves. They actually took up a commission, and they said, we're going to pay to send the slaves back from wherever they came from, and we are funding the crew, the ship, the food, everything they need. We are funding that to get them back. So this is what happened with that second ship, and this is why the pilgrims arrested the crew and the captain of that ship. It was because 5 years earlier they had passed the first anti-slave law ever. Now, one thing that you may not know also, of course, we referenced Senator Tim Kaine, who actually said that slavery didn't, that slavery wasn't imported into America, that we invented it. Of course, we've shown from the Bible history the very first instance of slavery, recorded instance of slavery that we see in history, Joseph being sold by his brothers as slaves. And we know that was the purpose and the intent of that, even though they had sinned and they had done wrong and slavery was wrong, that God used that and God had even ordained that for the preservation of the young nation of Israel. We also know that when Israel was there in Egypt and Pharaoh had died and Joseph had died, and we talked last week and we showed from the Bible last week how the entire nation of Israel, which were more populous at that time than the nation of Egypt, we see that the nation of Egypt, which was an African nation, a black nation, actually enslaved the Jewish nation, the entire nation being enslaved. And this is really the first instance that we see of a nation, an entire nation being enslaved. In fact, might be the only instance of an entire nation being enslaved. And so here we see this happening. Well, what you may not know is that actually in America, before Christopher Columbus came here to America, one of the things that you may not know is that slavery already existed in America. The wider context of slavery, and this is from a Wall Builders article entitled America's Exceptional History of Anti-Slavery. The wider context of slavery, both domestically and globally, makes North America's record even more exceptional. First, it must be noted that slavery has existed within every culture historically documented. In fact, the story of American slavery begins long before Christopher Columbus ever dreamed of sailing across the ocean sea. The native tribes he discovered all had slaves, and on a whole, it is estimated that 20 to 40% of Native populations were slaves, making the Native Americans on par with the slave empires of Greece and Rome. This Native Americans' tradition of slavery continued uninterrupted by colonization, and by 1860, 12.5% of the population of the Indian nation were black slaves, equaling one slave for every 8 Indians. So that is something that you probably haven't heard, and you definitely won't hear from those who are suppressing the truth. Another thing is that with the African slave trade, there were actually over 400 years, there were a little bit over 12.5 million Africans that were taken to be slaves around the world. Now, over 2 million of those actually died on the way. But out of those, there are actually some college professors that are actually teaching that those all came to America. And that is not actually accurate. It's not true. They didn't all come to America. In fact, 47% of them went to Portugal and Brazil. Also, 11% went to France. Great Britain had 3.2 million of those, meaning they had that about one quarter, 26%. France, again, had 11%. Spain and her territories received 8.5%. The United States had 2.4%. Now, by the way, this doesn't justify slavery. The fact that it existed all over the world doesn't mean that America was right in owning slaves. The fact that only a small portion of those slaves came to America doesn't make it right. But we actually had 305,326 of the 12,521,337 Africans came to America. And actually, there is another country that had fewer than the United States. But we had a very small portion of those slaves actually came to America. Now, we're going to look a little bit in the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about slavery. And we have already read about Joseph being a slave, and we've already studied about the nation of Israel being slaves and what happened there. One of the things that made slavery a difficult issue is that slavery does exist in the Bible. Although the slavery of the Bible is very different, it still gave reason and gave a difficulty in coming up, and it took some time for Christians to develop what God's truth is on this and to speak to this issue. And we actually see slavery or indentured servitude in the Bible, and we can look at Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 12 through 18. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. So this is really a limited period of slavery, similar to indentured servitude. May be interesting. Maybe this is where the black former slave that was made an indentured servant that was then released and given land and became quite wealthy and successful and brought other other slaves and made them indentured servants and let them go and then sued to own a black man. That man, this may have been where he got the idea, or it could have been where the actual people of Jamestown got the idea originally to make them indentured servants. But we see here that after he would serve for 6 years, and in the seventh year that he would go free. We see also verse 13, "And you shall send him away freely from you. He shall not go out empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, from your winepress, from what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God remembered you. Therefore, I command you this thing." So they weren't just to send their slaves out empty-handed. And again, this slavery was something, and it was something, by the way, this type of slavery in most cases was not where someone would actually steal someone and sell them as slaves, like happened with Joseph, or like happened with the slaves in Africa. They were actually kidnapped in many cases by Africans. So African tribes were kidnapping other African tribes, taking them and selling them to slave traders. Some of those slave traders were Muslim. Some of them were, and by the way, they were black. Some of them were Spanish. Some of them were Portuguese. But they were actually selling them for profit, kidnapping them. Of course, the pilgrims saw that that was a sin. Why did the pilgrims see that that was a sin? Well, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 16, we read, "He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death." So I don't think the pilgrims actually put the people to death, but biblically, that's what's supposed to happen with kidnapping, is the person who kidnapped is supposed to actually be put to death. And that passage is where the pilgrims got the idea that it was wrong to man steal. It was wrong to kidnap. It was wrong to sell someone to someone else. So back in Deuteronomy, we see that when the slave, who, by the way, again, had sold himself as a slave, and this is something where, you know, let's just put this into maybe modern day terms. Let's say someone in America were to be down on their luck. Maybe they're homeless. Maybe they're about to lose their home. They need to, they're being foreclosed on. They want to get out of the mess that they're in. So they could actually go to someone, if this were still allowed today, they could sell themselves. They could say, maybe, you know, my services are worth $50,000 a year. You pay me $300,000. I'll use that money to pay off my debts. Maybe I'll prepay my property tax for the 6 years that I'm going to be your servant, or set some of that money aside to pay the property tax while I'm your servant. And I'm going to actually serve you for 6 years. And on the seventh year, I'll go free, and maybe I can go back to my home. Or maybe you have some other debt that you need to pay off. And you're going to use this money to pay that off. That basically is what was happening. And God says, when they go out from you, make sure that you actually supply them liberally. Give them from your flock, from your herd, from your threshing floor, from your wine press, from everything that you have. In other words, in today's terms, maybe give them some money, help them get established, help them maybe with a job, help them so that they can actually go out and earn a living, so that they can get, you know, give them some food so that they're not going to go out and just be destitute. In verse 16, it says, if it happens that he says to you, "I will not go away from you," because he loves you in your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. also to your female servant you shall do likewise. So he could actually, the servant could actually say, well, you know, I love being here. My master is very kind to me, very benevolent. I have provision here, and I want to stay here. I want to serve him for the rest of his life. Voluntarily, the person could become a permanent servant and could actually say, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. But that was personal preference. It was a personal decision, just like the decision to become a slave in the first place. He would again sell himself. He would then receive the reward for that himself, and he would actually be free and able to use that money to pay off debt and use it for whatever he needed to use it for. And after 6 years could go free or could voluntarily choose to stay there. And it says here also in verse 18, if it shall not seem hard to you when you send him away free from you, for he has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. So here God is laying out this standard here. And really this is a last ditch attempt to actually redeem someone, to actually help someone out, help them to be able to work for their living and to pay off their debt. And in the worst case scenario, they can actually sell themselves and sell their services for 6 years, receive the money for that, and be able to use this. And so we're going to continue to look at the Bible. And as we do, we want to remember the words of Jesus. The truth will set you free. Study God's word. Study his word. And also study history. And study it from people who don't want to suppress the truth, but from people who are clearly presenting the truth so that you can know the truth and that truth can set you free. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
There's a lot of division in our nation, and some of it revolves around race. It would be helpful, though, if we all realize that every human being is a part of the human race. Moreover, my life and your life have value, not because of our race, ethnicity, social status, wealth, looks, or ability. Our lives have value because each one of us is created in the image of God. If we all realize this, we can value and respect each other despite our differences.